Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And today, of course, is Labor Day. What does that mean to you? Well, traditionally, in the past, Labor Day meant there was a big parade followed by a number of speeches. I don't know of too many places that are doing that. There may be some in your neighborhood, but I don't know about any of those going on. So what does Labor Day mean to you? Well, for some people, and for many people, it means the end of summer. It's sort of the last holiday, the last extra day in summer to do something fun, and hope that you are planning to do that today. The weather seems to be cooperating, so that's a plus. Whatever you do, let's plan to stay safe. End of summer, of course, many schools don't open until after Labor Day, but it seems that most of the schools in Iowa now start perhaps mid-August, getting out of school probably end of May and then starting middle of August. But that does vary from place to place in the country. Also, for some people, Labor Day means a big shopping day. Again, in Iowa, I think that's changed a bit because of the tax-free day and kind of going back to school early day. But in many places, it does mean a big retail day. And some retailers claim it is one of the largest sale dates of the year, second only to Christmas season's Black Friday. So with all this retail business going on, many folks are working today, because retail employment makes up 24% of all the jobs in the United States. And only 3% of those employed in the retail sector are members of a labor union. And so talking about labor unions, I thought it would be sort of interesting to look back in time related to laborers and organizing and what we now talk about as labor unions. And it's really not something very new. Some folks way back in the first strike actually happened in, I believe it was 1697. And but those folks weren't really organized, but they had a strike anyhow, and probably not too much came of it. It was not illegal to strike. And so, as I say, very, very little came out of that whole unrest at that time. So that was in Revolutionary time, or before Revolutionary time. Actually, I gave you the wrong date. It was 1636. There was a fisherman's strike on an island off the coast of Maine. And in 1677, 12 carmen were fined for going on strike in New York City. So unrest and trying to get better things to happen if you were labor has been going on for quite some time. However, the organizations have not been together since, later in the 1800s. Purpose of labor unions, pressures dictating the nature and power of organized labor have included the demand for exclusive worker control of the workplace, seeking higher wages and shorter hours, electing favorable politicians, and passing favorable labor laws. Organized unions and their umbrella labor federations, such as the AFL-CIO, and citywide federations have competed, evolved, merged, and split against a backdrop of changing values and priorities. The union movement has traditionally espoused a set of values, solidarity being the most important, the sense that each should look out for the interests of all, and from this followed commitments to mutual assistance, to a rough and ready sense of equality, to a disdain for elitism, and to a belief that democracy and individual rights did not stop at the plant gate or the office reception room. How much of that has been carried out in labor unions is often up for discussion. And as you, perhaps think about labor unions, if you want to do that, I'm guessing, at least in my mind, the one that, when you talk about labor unions, AFL-CIO is kind of the one that comes to mind. But there have been so many other labor unions, and there still are many labor unions of various kinds. Looking back at that AFL, it kind of came out of some other labor groups that were starting not to be very effective and kind of, you know, arguing among themselves. And so in 1886, the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions merged with a new organization, and it was called the American Federation of Labor, or the AFL. And the AFL was formed in large part because of the dissatisfaction of many trade union leaders with the Knights of Labor. This was the previous one, an organization that contained many trade unions and that had played a leading role in some of the largest strikes of the era. The new AFL distinguished itself from the Knights by emphasizing the autonomy of each trade union affiliated with it and limiting membership to workers and organizations made up of workers, unlike the Knights, which because of its producerist focus welcomed some who were not wage workers. Well, each of the unions perhaps has a different mission, but of course it goes back to that basic kind of rights and welfare of the workers. The Pullman strike was an important part of labor movement. During one of the major economic depressions in the early 1890s, the Pullman Palace Car Company cut wages in its factories. Discontented workers joined the American Railway Union, which was led by Eugene Debs, and that could be a name that you have heard in the past history. It supported their strike by launching a boycott of all Pullman cars on all railroads. And the American Railway Union members across the nation refused to switch Pullman cars onto trains. When the switchmen were disciplined, the entire union struck the railroads on June 26, 1894. And within 4 days, 125,000 workers on 29 railroads had people quit work rather than handle Pullman cars. The railroads were able to get Edwin Walker, general counsel for the Chicago, Milwaukee, and St. Paul Railway, appointed as a special federal attorney with responsibility for dealing with the strike. And Walker went to federal court and obtained an injunction barring union leaders from supporting the boycott in any way. The court injunction was based on the Sherman Antitrust Act, which prohibited every contract combination in the form of trust or otherwise or conspiracy in restraint of trade or commerce among several states. So the Debs and the members of the ARU ignored the injunction, and federal troops were called into action. So the strike was broken up by U.S. Marshals and some 2,000 United States Army troops. And in that process, 13 strikers were killed and 57 were wounded. An estimated $340,000 worth of property damage, remember this is in the 1800s, occurred during the strike. And Debs, the leader, went to prison for 6 months for violating the federal court order. What about women in unions? Well, women, of course, are welcome and encouraged to join unions. It's not the biggest membership in all, but a Women's Trade Union League was a support group that did not organize locals. It formed in 1903 at an AFL convention and kind of just loosely tied itself to the AFL. It was composed of both working women and middle-class reformers and provided financial assistance, moral support, and training in work skills and social refinement for blue-collar women. Most active from 1907 to 1922, it publicized the cause and lobbied for minimum wages and restrictions on hours of work and child labor. Well, because our country and the world continues to change, labor unions and the discussion about it continues to change. The weakest part or the weakest time for labor unions was in 1920 to 1929. And up until just in more recent history, the unions were mostly businesses, tradesmen, and that sort of thing. But in the 1950s and in the 1960s is the time when government groups began to unionize. So we have teachers, government workers, others who are also members of unions, public sector unions. So it's still labor unions, and labor is still on our radar and a part of discussions, arguments in the political scene. Just a teeny little bit of review of labor unions related to this day, Labor Day. And whatever you're doing, maybe take just a moment to say thank you, at least in your mind, to all of those who labor for us and with us.